This is False and Defamatory, the impact of defamation and weaponized social media. Trigger warning. This podcast discusses topics related to emotional abuse, gaslighting, verbal abuse, threatening language, cyberbullying, intimidation tactics, and thoughts of self-harm, which may be triggering for some listeners. The content includes descriptions of manipulative behavior, psychological distress, body shaming, online harassment, and other forms of abusive behavior and emotional trauma. Please take care of yourself and consider your mental and emotional state before listening. If you need support or someone to talk to, please seek help from a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. Thank you for listening.
We are still in April of 2023, and in the past few days, the defendant has made two very wild and outlandish live videos where she has twisted her narrative to include the trial, the fact that she lost, but is claiming that her attorney was ineffective and that she couldn't appeal because they wanted $500,000, and now her only recourse is to file malpractice. She also says that her goal is either for us to sue her again or for her to sue us, and that she wants to represent herself so that she can say all of the things that she didn't get to say at trial. I also would like to point out that at this point in time, I had not been speaking out for about 6 weeks. My last blog post was on February the 24th of 2023, because 3 days later, my attorneys filed as intervener in this divorce case so that we could file the motion for the judgment in my case to be paid from the trust that was set up from the sale of their home in the divorce case. And so I have not been speaking, but the defendant finally decided to start talking about the trial and put her new spin on it. On April the 9th of 2023, the defendant makes the following Instagram story.
Look, I'm taking this picture and I'm moving it to that wall because when I take a selfie right here, you're gonna be able to see it all the time. Yeah, you're gonna be able to see it right there. And who doesn't wanna see that? That's really his body. I mean, his face on his body. And somebody photoshopped that for me. It's like how tall do you think that picture is? 4.5, 5 feet tall? And we're going to put it right back there.
So the defendant is referencing the photo that she and H took at the Inc. 5000 gala and is acknowledging that one of her former employees' faces has been photoshopped onto that photo. And she is saying that she is going to move the location of that large blown-up photo right behind her mirror so that when she takes her outfit selfies, that it will be in the background. And I just point that out because this is just some further mind games that the defendant is trying to play, seemingly to reach H, but it is very disturbing. And the fact that none of her followers think that that is disturbing to me, because the defendant just seems to have an unnatural attachment to H. And she continues, even though she signed a settlement agreement to pay H and release all of her claims against H, she continues to put H into this narrative and is trying to play mind games with her, hoping that she will see this, hoping that this will be captured for legal proceedings because she has said she wants to go back to court with us so that H will see it. And that's just really manipulative and really disturbing to me. On April the 10th of 2023, the defendant shares the following Instagram story. This is a written post, and she has asked her followers to send her some DMs. And so she writes, "Gotta save some of your kind words to a highlight to show the court that I don't have haters. 99.9999% of people are good. I have greedy people who used to be on my payroll harassing me and an elderly from Arkansas. I wish I was joking, but their days are numbered, finally. So just ignore and tap through these next couple. If I don't repost your message, DM me again so I can see you at the top of my inbox. I just want to give them an idea of my actual community, considering the courts have been told y'all are violent vigilantes. Also, I wish I was joking." So the defendant has said before that she was putting together a binder of nice messages that people send her, and She is going along with that same narrative here, that she feels like if she can show the court that everyone is nice to her, that will be proof that there couldn't be actual people online that are writing unfavorable things about her, that it has to be me, fueled by her husband feeding me information and I guess age feeding me information. But this is going to be her proof to the judge. So once again, I just want to point out that the defendant claims that she has all this evidence. She never provided any evidence to my case. And the times that she has described her evidence and her proof, it is actually not proof of anything. Just like these nice messages from her followers are not evidence that I am the person that is posting on these quote-unquote troll blogs, but she thinks that it is. On April the 11th of 2023, the defendant made a live video, and I'm just going to play a short clip where she says that she has mediation coming up on Friday.
But if y'all ever shop, you should shop this week, because guess what? Friday, I have to go to mediation, and let me tell you, I'm not excited about it. So if you're going to shop, shop now.
In this short clip, the defendant says to her followers, now is the time to shop. And so once again, she has been making these videos with this new narrative, drumming up a lot of drama, and like clockwork, again, she is trying to generate sales as she has done before. The interesting thing about this is that she completely made up that she had mediation, because as soon as I was told about this live video and that she had mediation, I was really confused. Because I am intervener in her divorce, anytime anything happens in the divorce, I would be notified because I am one of the parties now. And so I sent a text or an email to Elizabeth and said, what's going on? The defendant is saying that she has mediation on Friday. Have we been notified? Because we're interveners, we would be notified. And so Elizabeth looked in her own email, and then she called and asked the other attorneys if there was mediation on that Friday, and there wasn't. The defendant just made it up so that she could ask her followers to shop with her. That same day, she reshared the video from April the 5th of 2023, where she introduced this new narrative the day after my birthday, that she needed to file a malpractice suit against her former attorneys because they were ineffective at my defamation trial, and that is why she lost. So she shares it again on April the 11th, the same day that she made the live video asking her followers to shop because she had mediation coming up on Friday, which was completely false. And at that point, the views on the video were 13,700. On April the 17th of 2023, the defendant made a series of Instagram stories announcing that she is shutting down or moving out of her warehouse.
I don't feel like a failure. My business didn't fail. I just married the wrong person, hired the wrong person. I get to start over. And I know it's like better than what I look like right now. Look, I just look at that. Sign over there. That was a year before I hired her.
So in these stories, the defendant is seemingly blaming myself and her soon-to-be ex-husband for the demise and downfall of her business. And she pans over to a sign that has her picture on it from when she made the Inc. 5000 list and says that that was the year before she hired her. And so she's referring to me there. So she is very emotional. She is upset that she is shutting her warehouse down and is blaming that on myself. That same day, she also made a TikTok and wrote some words on the screen. And the TikTok was some pictures of her warehouse and videos from her warehouse set to some music. And the words on the screen say, I am getting a divorce and losing my small business. I have to clear out my warehouse, everything $10 or less, Saturday, April 22nd, 2023, 11 a.m. And then gives her address and says, come get it before he does. And then she writes, don't feel bad for me. The justice system is not just, but I'll be back smarter and single. So she's doubling down on this narrative that her soon-to-be ex-husband has ruined her business and seemingly I have ruined her business. And so she doesn't just post the emotional stories on Instagram. She also creates a TikTok and posts that. Also on that same day, she reshares the video from April the 5th of 2023 titled I'm Done. So she has created these emotional Instagram stories. She has created this TikTok. And so people are looking at her social media, and so she goes ahead and reshares that same video again, introducing her new narrative. Around this time, again, I was not speaking. I had gone silent because I was in legal proceedings. However, my mom was not in legal proceedings, and she was very angered that the defendant was yet again lying about actually what had happened. And so my mom decided to put together some factual evidence, and she created another post on Reddit. And that post says, "What was done in the dark is coming to light. Some truths. I believe the defendant, who is used to telling lies with no actual proof, must have forgotten that there are now court documents that show the truth. The truth is, she lied about everything. I feel that because she is continuing to defame my daughter, I would show actual facts and proof. I will address the, quote, awful attorney, end quote, allegations as to why she lost the case. She is now saying her attorney didn't do a good job and he was horrible. I believe the big word used by a follower was malfeasance. Here are some facts concerning what is true about the trial and her attorney. She recently said on a live that she had to change lawyers only 2 weeks before the trial. She stated that her soon-to-be ex-husband forced her to. That is untrue. At her deposition in February of 2022, 6 months before the trial, she was told that she would have to have a different attorney for the business because it was a conflict of interest. On August the 9th, a few weeks prior to the trial that was held August 22nd through the 24th, the defendant's own attorneys filed a motion to withdraw. This is public record. This motion listed that she would not communicate with them, and also she did not pay them. The document says that her attorney reached out 4 times since July 20th and the defendant failed to respond. My mom also includes the screenshots from the deposition showing that the defendant was told that she needed another attorney on February the 15th of 2022. And mom also shares the court documents from this motion to withdraw. Once again, we are not asking anyone to believe the words that we say. Just look at the evidence, listen to the evidence, and you can determine for yourself. My mom goes on to say, the defendant also chose not to come to either deposition where her lawyer was questioning Crystal and H. The defendant had almost 2 years to gather the, quote, evidence, end quote, she repeated many, many times that she had. The week discovery or evidence was due, she went on a cruise with her friend. The defendant even posted during the cruise that she did not want to read her attorney emails. And then my mom includes an Instagram story that the defendant posted, and the words on the screen say, today is a C day and I have to open my emails. I've been dreading it all week. I don't want to talk about divorce or sad stuff. I don't want to fight about money. I don't want tit for tat. Ugh. But adulting must be done. Say a quick prayer that it's nothing too horrible today. The attorneys were texting me saying, are you reading the emails? Which means no, I wasn't. I hate this stuff. Praying it all in soon, and I can be excited or open my inbox again. I absolutely dread it these days. Do you avoid bad news and things like that? Ugh. My mom goes on to say, most importantly, there was and is no evidence because she made everything up. Other notes. Being a witness for someone means you are a person with knowledge of relevant facts of the case. You do not have to get the person's permission to be put on a witness list. This does not mean everyone on a witness list is a character witness. She has said before that her soon-to-be ex-husband was Crystal's star witness, but on a recent live, she admitted that he was never called as a witness and was not even at trial. She has said at the trial, no GoMe posts were even discussed. Untrue. Crystal's lawyer asked the defendant what post she could positively say could only be Crystal. The defendant brought up the post about her car lease and the amount, saying only Crystal would know it because she didn't tell the internet the true amount. So Crystal's lawyer asked if that was a post that the defendant gave to her attorneys or the police. The defendant couldn't recall if the police or her attorney had that post and basically said she didn't know if they had it. Crystal's lawyer continued to ask why she would not be certain that the police or her attorney had that post since the defendant was absolutely sure it was only Crystal that could have possibly known the lease amount. The defendant could not explain why she didn't make sure they had the post. Again, the defendant did nothing and had nothing. Zero proof. It was TNT that made that post, not Crystal, because Crystal has never had an account on GoMe. I'm going to pause here because in addition to the defendant's live videos, there was some information that was circulating that the defendant had been sending out to her friends about the case. And one of the people that she sent that message to sent it to the moderators of the Reddit community. And so my mom saw that message and is writing the following in response to that. My mom goes on to say, I would like to respond to the message titled Case Notes the defendant sent after the trial. One of her friends shared this with the moderator, and it was posted on this thread a few weeks ago. The defendant is saying, her attorney could have played any part of my deposition where I was well-spoken and reserved, but that was not done. My attorney never brought up my dad being really sick and me having to take care of him and the things I talked to Crystal about regarding my dad that were on the blog. My mom says, in response to that, Crystal had no usernames on Gomi and wrote nothing about her dad on the blog. The defendant goes on to say, there was no mention I took her to get her eyebrows microbladed, which was $600 in April. My mom says, she did do this. It was her idea. Crystal did not ask the defendant to do this, and it was free because she told the eyebrow lady she would talk about it on her social media. Crystal scheduled and paid for the follow-up appointment herself. The defendant says, there was no mention that I was going to have a birthday party in September, and she was going to be the prom queen of my birthday party. There was no mention that I had already booked a trip for all of us to go to New York City just to have some fun before the holidays. My mom says, this is true, but is irrelevant? Defendant says, I wish I could have given the closing statement myself because I was just sitting there like, oh my God, he keeps pushing and these people are not going to like him because he is like yelling at them. My mom says, the truth is the defendant didn't even meet with her attorneys during breaks at trial. As soon as there was a break, she would get on her phone and leave the room. The defendant said, my attorney should have asked me while I was on the stand for a list of reasons why I thought it was Crystal. My mom says, to say an attorney should have asked a defendant to list reasons why she thought it was Crystal, that's not how a trial works. It's not like the defendant's social media where she can just say anything that she wants to her, quote, army, end quote, and they believe it and go on the attack. Proof. The defendant had and has zero proof because there isn't any. The defendant says, instead, they told me just to get through the plaintiff's questioning and then I would be able to tell my story, and that never happened. He questioned me for like 20 minutes and was all over the place. I was very anxious because he wasn't asking me questions that would tell my story, and the judge wouldn't let me elaborate. He assured me that I would be able to answer all of the questions that her attorney had already asked that were incorrect and that didn't happen. My mom says, again, that's not how a trial works. A person doesn't get to tell their story. Someone can't, quote, just decide, end quote, to defame someone and make up a story and defame that person for 2 years, thousands of times on social media. At trial, you show something called proof, and the defendant had none because she made up these lies. The defendant says, my attorney never pointed out the hundreds of posts where she calls me a narcissist online. I could have had my therapist testify that I have no narcissistic tendencies and I'm an empath. My mom says, an expert witness absolutely can be called, and there is a deadline to add these types of witnesses. This is something that the defendant and her attorney should have discussed and determined that was necessary. But again, it's not Crystal calling the defendant anything on the blog, so it is irrelevant. Defendant says, all of the videos they were going to play at trial were given to my attorneys, not me, before the trial, so I feel my attorney should have watched them and at least let us show those statements in context or defended them, but none of that was done, especially because I've had to give them over $150,000 in the last 45 days alone, not to mention the over $100,000 I spent before on this case. My mom says, Crystal's attorney submitted all the videos multiple times prior to the deadline, and she admitted on 8/24/2021 that she had viewed video evidence that was sent to her attorneys. One of the videos shown was the defendant screaming, no, never, I'm not going to shut up. How was that taken out of context? And the one where the defendant said, everybody knows what you did, referring to Crystal, which was viewed over 33,000 times. I don't think that one could have been explained away either by the defendant. The defendant's attorney filed a motion to withdraw, and one of the reasons was because he was not getting paid. Defendant says, my attorneys should have provided a packet to each juror with Gomi posts or at least a bulleted list of reasons why it had to be Crystal that made them. My mom says, if the defendant had shown up for the deposition, she would have heard Crystal say under oath that she had no usernames on Gomi. The defendant was sitting in the courtroom when Crystal said under oath a minimum of 15 times that she had no usernames on Gomi. Why would her lawyer give a packet of Gomi posts to the jury when Crystal has no usernames on Gomi? The defendant says, my attorney should have asked how this litigation has affected my life so I could explain it has drained me financially severely and caused a lot of stress in my personal life and definitely taken me away from work because every time I say anything online, even if I'm not talking about Crystal, I get a letter. My mom says the defendant makes money selling clothes. She sells more clothes and makes more money if she defames Crystal while doing so. If the defendant would stop defaming Crystal online, then she wouldn't get a letter. She never stopped talking. She just stopped talking about clothes. If the defendant wouldn't have made defamatory statements, there wouldn't have been letters and hundreds of hours of footage and evidence to review, which would have drastically decreased the defendant's attorney's fees. The defendant, and only the defendant, caused the financial and personal stress, no one else. The defendant says, the jury should have been given stacks of posts so they could see how savage and vile these comments really are. I have binders of them. Instead, they only saw 40 posts the police gathered, and my attorney did not ask me to provide them with any posts that were directly Crystal until the day before the trial. My mom says, some of the posts are very mean, I agree, but Crystal did not make these posts. The attorney would not have asked the defendant for posts the day before the trial. There are deadlines weeks before the actual trial. The defendant made a choice to go on a cruise the week discovery was due. In the deposition, the defendant specifically said that she had no binders related to this case. And then my mom shares a screenshot of the deposition where Todd says, there were some posts where you had binders referencing all the documents that you have related to this case. Do you recall that? Defendant, no. Todd, all right. Do you have binders upon binders related to this case? Defendant, not related to this case. Todd, what do you mean by that? Defendant, not related to this case. The defendant goes on to say, my attorney should have asked me how often I get hate comments on my own social media so I could point out that it's extremely rare considering the number of pages I have on that hate site. My mom says, the defendant doesn't get hate comments because when she does, she deletes the comments and then blocks the person immediately. Defendant says, it should have been brought up. The owner of Gomi said, I'm not even in the top 30 threads on her platform, but I definitely have more pages than 90% of anyone that's talked about. That doesn't make sense technically. My mom says, what? With three question marks. The defendant goes on to say, my attorney should have brought up the number of times I've mentioned that I don't want to be an influencer and I just want to be an encourager and I want to keep my circle small. And he should have asked me how much more I could have grown my following if I had chosen not to be private. My mom says, sorry, her Instagram was not private. For most of the 2 years she defamed Crystal, the defendant's Facebook and Instagram pages were public, and you can see the globe indicating a public post in the evidence showing her Facebook posts. Defendant says, my attorney should have explained that my sass in those videos comes from 10 years of being gossiped about on the internet and never once creating an account to defend myself or asking anybody to do that for me. They ridiculed me about saying I'm circling the drain. I just look like a snarky profanity hole. It should be my opinion based on the facts I've lived. They should have to show proof it was a lie. My mom says, again, that's not how a trial works. She was the defendant. She was being sued for defaming Crystal, and the defendant's legal response to the lawsuit was truth. She also claimed to have proof, which means her statements were presented as fact to her followers. Therefore, the defendant has the burden of proof to show what she said was true. So the defendant's opinion means absolutely nothing, and she would never have any proof because there was none. The defendant says, instead, Crystal's attorney said, I never proved it was Crystal, and they wouldn't let me explain. My mom says, I'll repeat this again. That's not how a trial works. You don't explain, you show proof. The defendant had none. Defendant says, the judge said yes or no answers. And mom says, yes, he did when the questions warranted a yes or no answer. And the defendant says, they orchestrated this together and they will get away with it. And my mom says, there is no they. There is only the defendant and she made everything up. The defendant had zero proof. A jury unanimously decided everything she said was a lie. I'm aware that the defendant will likely never stop spreading her lies. And now that I've written this, she will likely try to spin all of this into even more lies. But the facts remain. Crystal never did any of this. The defendant defamed my daughter, and my daughter sued her and won by unanimous jury verdict. The defendant is simply upset that what was done in the dark will come to light, and the truth is finally coming to light. And then she signs it, Deanne-Crystal's mom. That post was made on April the 22nd of 2023. On April the 28th of 2023, the defendant, again, shares the live video, I'm Done, from April the 5th of 2023. And at that point, it had amassed 24,284 views. Then on May the 15th of 2023, the defendant's soon-to-be ex-husband filed a motion in response to my motion to pay the judgment from the trust account that is in the divorce. He filed a motion to abate. And what motion to abate means is that he wanted to delay the motion until the final trial. So rather than the judge ruling then in May to pay the judgment from the trust, he wanted to wait until the trial was complete for the judge to make that ruling. And so he filed the motion to abate. And that same day, the defendant's attorneys filed a motion to strike my intervention in the lawsuit, saying that it was irrelevant and my intervention should not be allowed. And then 2 days later, the defendant's soon-to-be ex-husband filed another motion. And this was a motion for continuance, not for the trial, but to continue the motion that the defendant had filed to strike my intervention. And so there was a lot of legal documents being sent back and forth. And this was all happening a few days prior to the hearing that was set for the judge to hear my motion. And now the judge is going to hear these motions all in the same ruling on May the 18th of 2023. On May the 18th of 2023, this hearing was held. In this hearing, the judge did grant the motion to abate, which means that the judge was going to wait to rule on paying my judgment until the trial. The judge denied the motion to strike my intervention. And so while the decision to pay the judgment was delayed, the judge did not rule that my intervention was irrelevant in the case. The judge ruled, nope, she can intervene. This is valid. And then the defendant made the following Instagram story.
Y'all waiting for this, huh? I feel as good on the inside as I look on the outside.
Came to celebrate at my favorite place, my favorite people. I'm going to extend the moist night sale because I didn't get through hardly any of my Instagram DMs, but I still have a bunch of DMs on my Facebook page. I'll post a bunch of videos while I'm at dinner, and then I'll just extend the sale through the night. oh, finally. Anyways, God is good, and so are you people at the end of the day. So I appreciate all of you so much more than you know. Keep on swimming, sisters.
So the defendant had written text across the video that she was making on her Instagram stories and says, the truth always wins. And she's smiling and is acting like she has had this huge victory at court. When in fact, what had happened was the judge said, I'm not going to hear this motion right now. I'm going to wait for the trial. And so the defendant is taking that as a huge win for her, even though her motion was denied to strike my intervention. And like clockwork, she goes into sales. She is having a sale. So she has been drumming up this drama. She has reshared this video. She is having a sale. And in this Instagram story, she says she's going to extend that sale and then discusses some elements of the sale, some products that she is selling. So she believes this is a huge win for her and even says she feels as good on the inside as she looks on the outside. So she is very pleased with her appearance, and she is pleased with how this hearing went. Then on May the 24th of 2023, the defendant once again shares the video from April the 5th of 2023. And on that date, that video had 26,600 views. So she just continues to share it to get the view count up. After the hearing on the motion to abate, motion to strike, motion for continuance, I did receive information that I was being called as a witness, not just myself, but also H would be called as a witness in the divorce trial, because the divorce trial at this point was only regarding the division of assets. The custody had already been mediated. The defendant already said that. And so because my lawsuit, and therefore H's lawsuit, directly impacted the finances of the marriage, we were called as witnesses. And on May the 31st of 2023, H and I received subpoenas for the divorce trial. And I had had communication with H after my trial because we were no longer in legal proceedings. And so we had had some communication. However, at that point, when we were subpoenaed, we ceased having any sort of contact whatsoever again. And so it was frustrating, but also there weren't the questions that were there prior, because before I was just blindsided by all of these lies online that the defendant was spewing, and H wasn't contacting me. I was worried about her. And this time it wasn't like that. So we just kind of went into timeout and didn't have any communication, because if we were asked on the stand what sort of communication that we had had, we both wanted to be honest and say, well, we haven't had any communication since we were subpoenaed. And so at the point that we both received our subpoenas, we had no further contact. Then on June the 2nd of 2023, the defendant makes the following Facebook post. She had been saying that she was going to go on a work convention. And so her post says, "Update, I canceled the trip to the convention. I just watched the police video again, and I just have so much anxiety. I can't believe I ever agreed to anything that I did because it's so blatant. She literally admits to telling her what is on the blog, so I need to stay home, build my case, and fight back and protect our future. I will work on my business from home. I will bust my profanity this weekend and bring in sales, pay to fight these awful people back, and show you that good will win in the end. I never lied. Growing my business can wait. Right now, I just need to survive." So she is posting about this and how she's going to fight back and get ready for her case, when her case is her divorce that she is referring to. But at this point, she has now been notified that H and I were subpoenaed to be a witness in the divorce case. H's subpoena was officially filed on June the 6th of 2023. And at that point, Reddit did see that because it is a matter of public record, and they did begin discussing that. Again, I wasn't saying anything, not just on my own social media at that time. I also was not answering any questions on Reddit at that time. And so at that point, the only thing that Reddit people had to go off of was public record and some of the things that my mom had posted in her public Reddit post. But Reddit did locate this filing and began to speculate about all of that. On June the 12th of 2023, the defendant changed her Instagram bio to say opinion only. And she has tried this tactic before whenever she got lots of retraction letters and things like that. Sometimes she would say, "Well, this is just my opinion." And again, that's not how it works. You can't just say opinion only and then say statements as if they were fact with no evidence and they be false. That's still defamation. But here she's seemingly trying to make light of that and say, "Well, it's just my opinion." So she changed her bio to say opinion only. Then on June the 18th of 2023, there was really weird things that were happening. The defendant was making these vague posts and kept saying that she was having to get new Wi-Fi and a new provider, and she wasn't going to have Wi-Fi. She was only going to have Ethernet. And so all of this was going on. And then she makes the following Facebook post. "I absolutely want to explain what's going on to my customers, but I cannot for the safety of my own family right now. More so the safety of our devices, which have already been compromised. I promise you by this time tomorrow, the issue should be protected and resolved. And Lord knows I hate being vague, but I don't know how else to say it while protecting us at the same time. I don't want to leave you in the dark, but I don't know how to explain it while protecting us as well. I've tried to use a hotspot. I tried to use my cell phone, and it just does not work. So if you could just give me till tomorrow night, I promise all of my issues should be resolved." The defendant's customers began being concerned with the security of their information on her website. And that post seemingly was circulated throughout the community. And on one of the local community pages, the moderators made the following post. They shared the post that the defendant had made and then wrote these words. "A message was sent to our group page asking that the following information be shared about continued security issues with a local business. The request was made because information about local events, when there was a storefront in downtown, online events and warehouse sales were shared with this group, and there is concern about personal information being compromised. The business has not informed customers about the breach as is required by Texas state law. The writer asks that the information be posted anonymously as they do not want to be associated with the owner, the business, the breach, or any ongoing litigation. The group moderation team verified that information regarding security breaches has been posted on the business's social pages and on the business owner's personal social channels. Normally, we would not share this information with the group, but have made an exception as the issue has not been communicated with customers." And then they share what the group member had sent to them. "Hi, please consider letting the town where we live in and neighbors group members know that according to the defendant's company and store owner's personal page, their system and her personal devices were hacked yet again. Customers' information and data has been breached. Also, during one of the recent business liquidation warehouse sales, computers sold without being scrubbed and customers' information was still on them. I do not want to get in the drama, but I am concerned about my information being used from when I was a customer in their storefront and online. I don't know if she has a warehouse space in town or a business at all anymore, but I suspect there are many residents in our town who shopped at the store when there was a shop downtown before going online and having the town warehouse location. The owner has posted a few times about being hacked and someone accessing information, but the issue continues to happen. Could you just let them know there was a breach so they're aware to watch for any possible activity? It would probably be a good idea for everyone in general to have a fraud alert added to their credit reports as a precaution. Thank you. In response to this, the defendant posts the following Instagram story. This one is words on the screen, and it says, "To clear up the confusion, no one's financial data is at risk. I didn't have Wi-Fi at home, so I didn't log into my store. Also, my website does not save your financial information. You have to use a third-party company to do that, such as Shop, which I have no access to ever. I never said my business was compromised. I posted on my private Instagram stories to my friends, who are also my customers, as to why I have not been active making work posts lately and responding to work emails via the platform. I'm sorry that defendant's soon-to-be ex-husband's neighbor," and then names this person by name, "felt the need to post publicly on our town Facebook group that my company has had a data breach. She did not reach out to me to confirm the information before she posted it. She blocked me from the group, so I cannot defend myself or my business. She befriended me last year and even went so far as sending me a video of her daughter's admiration of me, and then proceeded to report back to a troll blog that I asked her to look out her window and tell me if defendant's husband's friend was outside her soon-to-be ex-husband's house, because he is not supposed to be around my son by court order, and then denied it. I don't mind anyone talking however you want, but be honest about it, and don't slander my business because you don't have access to me anymore. Pray for her. Also, I've never sold a computer from my business that had anyone's information on it. I said that I sold a computer that had an OS on it that I did not use. That does not mean anyone's information is on the computer." And then she posts a video on that same story.
"My tolerance level is exceeded, but clearly I'm here for the fight. I'm going to get back on the internet. I'm going to go back to selling clothes. I'm not going to lose my business. And if I lose my business, I'll just start another one, because let's be honest, I did that once already. At the end of the day, I love talking to you. I love connecting with y'all. I love this little screen right here. And no man, no obsessed, psychotic troll, stalker, weirdo is going to stop me. I don't care how bad it gets. I will be back. You can bet your ass that. So just bear with me. Let me handle this and we'll be back to normal soon."
So in that video, the defendant appears heated about what was shared and references her soon-to-be ex-husband, and also references me as a psychotic troll stalker or something like that, because once again, I had nothing to do with any of that information being shared. She even names the woman who supposedly shared that information, but somehow it's still my fault, because that's the narrative that she sells her followers. On June the 26th of 2023, the judge held the pretrial conference. Again, I did not go to that. My attorneys did. However, at that pretrial conference, the judge ruled that the trial would now be 2 days instead of just 1 day. So the trial was set for July the 11th, and now it will be July 11th and 12th. And I was notified that I would be called on the 12th. A few days later, on June the 30th of 2023, the defendant made the following live video.
"Since I know you're screen recording this, if I file a malpractice case, then what happens? Then I split it with my spouse. So what would be the other alternative? Well, if I don't do that and I just go after the people who wronged me in this situation myself, then what happens? And I get divorced in the process. Smart, right? So I can think with my emotions like I did in the past that got me nowhere. They got me fans like you, sweetheart. Or I can think with my brain. So at the end of the day, everything I said that she did, I stand by 100%, even more so now. The only reason I don't talk about that is because I don't want them trying to take to shift the blame off anybody else. And I said from the beginning, like, when all this stuff was first happening, like, I kept telling my future ex-husband, like, if I tell the police everything, they're going to think you're involved. Or if I tell the internet everything, they're definitely going to think you're involved. So you have to show me or tell me how you're not involved, because it looks like you are. And so when I went to my deposition and they asked me all these questions, like, a lot of the statements that I made, I wasn't talking specifically about one of those two girls. A lot of times I was talking about my husband. But I couldn't say that, because I just have to say, like, no, I wasn't talking about her, which is true. But a lot of times I was talking about one of them or both of them or some of them, just depended on what the story was. But the question presented to me was, did you make the statements? Yes, I did. But I didn't make them about who they say I'm making them about. And now I know, like, even if part of the answer is no, you're allowed to say no. Where before I was like, well, if some of the answer is true, like I did make a lot of those statements, but I didn't make them against who they're saying I did. Here's the thing too. The reason I think my counselor said a long time ago that this is a perfect job for me is because it really doesn't hurt my feelings when people say ugly things, because usually they don't. And if they do, it's like from a private account that's like, has a like a fake username. So like, you can't care. You can't let that bother you when it's coming from an account where they don't even have balls enough to like come on with their own face and name, you know? Like, if it's you, just say hi. Or let's just swap passwords and computers and see who it is. I don't know. Why I lost the lawsuit, I was wrong. Was I wrong? Or was I poorly represented? I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Listen, you'd lose the lawsuit too if nobody said anything to defend you. But that's okay. Listen, I'll pay what the court says I have to pay. I'll do the needful, but I'm not gonna be the only one who does it. I wasn't the only one who got myself in this situation. Also, I stand by everything I've ever said. Let me just say that again, because her receipts weren't. Oh, there was no receipts, sweetheart. Remember, she's very clear about that on her little blog where she parses my whole name. There were no receipts. Nothing was presented. But if that's the case, then I'm sure one day everybody can see that police video, huh? Right? Or no? In due time. She used to post like she got medals on these blogs for handing out the link to the police video. I'm like, that is so gross. I don't think you can file a mistrial, because that would mean, I don't know how that works, but basically you have like 60 or 90 days to file an appeal. And they wanted like $500,000 to file an appeal. So that wasn't gonna happen. But also, I didn't really want an appeal. I just wanted to be represented fairly. Like, at least show the posts that we're talking about that I said she said, or at least post the police video where one of them admits to telling the other one every single thing that's on there. And all this stuff says that I've never had a problem with this woman in my life. And there'd be no reason for me to think her exact words were, she didn't even know that she disliked me. Or I didn't even know that she disliked me. But don't worry, I got plenty. They may have not shown the receipts in court, but we gonna talk about them for sure.
So in this video, there is a user by the name Canadian Pop-Tart who is seemingly refuting some of the things that the defendant is saying. And so the defendant is responding to her, and in the comments, the followers are attacking. And one of them even says, I wonder if Pop-Tart is the one who has a TikTok about you. And she's referring to me, and her followers believe her. So she has told her followers that I am every troll on the internet that doesn't like her, and they believe her, to the point to where this other user with the name Canadian Pop-Tart has come on the video, and anyone who says anything negative or in opposition to the defendant, it has to be me. And so that is the assumption that they are making in this video. So the defendant starts out by saying, now she's not going to file a malpractice suit, because if she files a malpractice suit, then her soon-to-be ex-husband would get half of whatever maybe she recovered. So instead, she is saying that she'll just file her own suit, is what I'm deducing from what she has said there. So I find it interesting that she's already changing her narrative there. I don't know why, but now suddenly she thinks that it's smarter to not file the malpractice suit. She says she stands by everything she's ever said, even more so now. And this is despite a unanimous jury verdict, despite the judgment, despite having no evidence. She is once again doubling down and is just adamant that she was right. Then she talks about how she was telling her husband that if she tells the police and the internet everything that she knows, then everybody's going to think that he's involved. And so she was trying to seemingly protect him. And she talks about in the deposition that she didn't want to say that she thought it was him. So she just said that she wasn't talking about us. Then she says that it doesn't hurt her feelings when people say ugly things about her. And I just disagree, because this entire issue is because there are people who say unfavorable things about her online. She obsessed over these trolls for years, to the point to where she fabricated a narrative and tried to pin it all on me. She has been obsessed with what people say about her for I don't even know how long. And so for her to say that that sort of thing doesn't bother her, I think is very interesting because it clearly does. So Canadian Pop-Tart says that she lost the lawsuit because she was wrong. And so then she says, well, was I wrong or was I poorly represented? And so she is going with that narrative. The only reason that she lost is because her attorneys were ineffective. She also says she's going to pay the judgment, pay whatever she needs to pay, but that she's not the only one that's going to pay it because she's not the only one responsible, seemingly saying that her soon-to-be ex-husband is going to need to pay as well. I find it interesting that she has said that she is going to pay because she didn't. We had to file as intervener in her divorce and then file our own motion for the judgment to be paid out of the trust because she was willfully refusing to pay the judgment. And that was stated by the defendant in the video from April the 5th of 2023. But here she is saying, oh yeah, she'll pay whatever she needs to pay. She says that there were no receipts presented for her. No posts were discussed that were on the blog. And once again, that is incorrect. We talked about the post where she says that her lease amount was revealed and I had to be the only one who knew that. And so I don't think that she thought that I would ever come forward with the full trial transcript and talk about that and show those facts and evidence because she just assumes that she's going to be able to tell her followers whatever she wants and they'll believe her. And honestly, they do. They truly do. They are in the comments supporting her like clockwork. She talks about, again, the police video and says that it will be shown one day. And she talks about that often. And again, that audio and the transcript is available on Patreon for the judge level if you would like to hear that audio for yourself. Then she says, they may not have shown the receipts in court, but we're going to talk about them. And once again, I would just like to point out that even to this day, and we are well past the time this video was made, there have been no receipts. Anything that the defendant thinks is proof is not actually proof. And so she keeps claiming that she has all of this proof and she's going to show it, she's going to show it, she's going to show it. But then when she talks about that proof or describes it, it amounts to her therapist one time said the word manic and someone on the troll blog said the word manic. And that's the extent of any evidence or proof, quote unquote, that she has.
There's 300 people almost on this video. They must hate my guts. I mean, God, I just must have them all fooled. It's so crazy. Everything you say online, Pop-Tart, can be traced. Make sure your internet's secure. You wouldn't want someone to be able to hack you. I had a lot of deep talking. Hey, Pop-Tart, can you find out why? Yeah, it's been a couple months. I wonder if Pop-Tart is the one that has a TikTok about you. I don't know. I've never responded to a troll like this in a video, so honestly, it's fine. It's whatever. At least I can clear up her confusion, his confusion. I don't know. Sometimes you can't clear it up because they just believe what they want. Is that what you think about all these people that are supporting me on this video right now? They just are brainwashed. Is that what they are? Brainwashed with the same story I've always had. So what I did was I went through and I found a bunch of like old stories and stuff that weren't deleted yet. Thank you, Jesus. And I made like a couple of kind of like a PowerPoint presentation, I guess, where I could show y'all like what was going on from your perspective that day and what was really going on. So like when I was like super upset and y'all thought I was like upset about my dad, I went and like paired it with like the text messages from that day that someone thought they deleted from my phone, but they didn't delete them from all my backups, just some of them. And so here's the thing, when you back up your phone and save your text messages, it saves your text messages to your backup. So even if you delete your latest backup, which was done on my phone numerous times, the text messages would be saved to a different backup. And those wonderful people at Apple, they have those backups sometimes. Why would I delete that woman's text messages from my own phone when I thought she was doing bad things to me? This is before I knew about the lawsuit. Like, obviously I wouldn't delete her messages from my phone. I think I would, I mean, I didn't know there was gonna be a lawsuit. Somebody in my house did though. So the point of all that is, wouldn't make no sense. If I'm lying, I'm lying. And honestly, I'll stand in the sun for anything I've ever done. I'm happy to do that. Unfortunately, there's just not any big tea you're gonna find. I'm so sorry. Tell me more. Why am I getting divorced, Pop-Tart? Because he just couldn't handle it anymore. Is that why? Because that's not what he says. He told me that we were getting divorced because I was accusing him of colluding. And so my answer was, I am on an island by myself. I'm the only one not accusing you. So please stop saying that I'm accusing you, because I'm not accusing you. I'm trying to figure out how all signs point to you. What do I say? If I tell the story exactly how it unfolded, it looks real bad for you. And you look real involved. Hey, Pop-Tart, do you have information about my last court hearing? What happened there? Listen to this absolute paranoid, delusional madness. Shame on anyone who encourages this. You're encouraging this. I wouldn't be talking about it. I was going to talk about my day. So, I'm a paranoid, delusional person, apparently. I'm not, but that's what they're saying. My counselor, she used to say to him, too, you're not paranoid if they really are after you. So, try again, because I'm not on your page. If you can still see this video, I did know that. When they purchase your name, you kind of figure that out. And .com, it's really disgusting. It really is. Also, if anybody goes and follows any of her accounts, I will block you, even if you spend a lot of money at my store. So please don't, so I don't have to do that. Because any time, this is the best analogy I can give you. Because if somebody else was being hateful to your daughter on the internet and you followed their account just to get the tea, watch, see what they're saying, it's still a sign of support, and we don't want to do that. So I know it burns her up that I have so many followers on this account and I've never made a post before, because she has held Zoom calls talking about me, her and her mom. It's disgusting. And she's trying to get to 1,000 followers on another platform so she can go live there and still talk about me. Again, disgusting. I don't know. I've never been that type of person. Like, I've always made a living and made a life and made the joy in my life out of being positive on the internet. And honestly, the last 3 years have been hell. And it all started around this time.
In the beginning of this clip, she talks about there are 300 people on this video and they must all be brainwashed. And she's responding again to the Canadian Pop-Tart who was making some comments. And her goal is to seemingly prove that the 300 people are her supporters. And Canadian Pop-Tart is commenting on their blind following of her. Then she says, I've never responded to a troll like this on a video, because she is actively engaging in conversation with this Canadian Pop-Tart user. She says that she went on her Instagram archive or stories or something and put together a PowerPoint type presentation where she shows the story or the video that was posted that day and then what actually was happening. And I've never seen the results of any of that, so I don't know if she just decided not to present that to anyone or what happened there, but she does say that she put something together. Then she also uses a common intimidation tactic, once again, about her deleted texts and the backups and how the wonderful people at Apple can get those back for you. And once again, I never deleted the text messages to my knowledge. Neither did H, neither did her soon-to-be ex-husband. Nobody deleted those text messages that I am aware of. But she is saying that like, oh, now I have proof from Apple. And she has been using that intimidation tactic this entire time. And it still does not faze me, because I would also have no reason to have someone delete those text messages or delete them myself. It doesn't make any sense, but she just keeps saying it over and over again. She said, why would I delete that person's text messages? And then she says, I didn't know there was going to be a lawsuit at that time, but somebody in my house did. And I think that is interesting as well. There would not have been a lawsuit if she had not started defaming me. There would never have been a lawsuit. Because she defamed me, then I filed a lawsuit. Nobody in her home knew that that was coming. And the lawsuit was never filed to go forward. Once again, it was filed to get her to stop defaming me, and she didn't. And so we carried it through till the very end. And I'm just going to speculate here, because those texts were deleted before the defendant ever made a post defaming me. So how could anyone have known that there was going to be a lawsuit? I didn't even know there was going to be a lawsuit because she hadn't started defaming me yet. However, I believe, and this is my opinion, that she thinks that because, or the original petition included the post about the denim, I think that she thinks or is trying to position this that I had planned to sue her. I went to work for her planning to sue her. And then when she made the post about the jeans, that I was planning to sue her from that point. And that's what she's referring to. But none of that is the case. Again, that initial portion about the denim post should never have even been in the lawsuit. But that is what she is going off of. But those text messages were deleted before there was ever a lawsuit filed. So how would anyone have known that there was a lawsuit coming when she hadn't started defaming me yet? She also talks again about the different domains that I have and once again threatens her followers. If you follow her, I'm blocking you. And I just think that is very interesting because she seems very afraid that people might follow me, might listen to what I have to say, and might change their mind because I am refuting everything that she's saying, not just by merely saying it, but by showing facts and evidence. Then she talks about the Zoom calls and she mentions my mom and how it's disgusting or we're disgusting or something like that for holding those Zoom calls. And then she says that I am trying to get 1,000 followers on TikTok so that I can go live. And I had made that comment before I went radio silent when I filed as intervener because people were asking me to go live and I was saying I can't go live on TikTok until I have 1,000 followers. So she took that and ran with it and that's what she's referring to there.
You see someone's Google history and you're just like, oh my God, this is disgusting. How long have you been planning this? But at least I wasn't crazy thinking like, I feel like you're like trying to get me to close on this loan so we can divorce. Like if that's what you're trying to do, just tell me. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. Oh, turns out it was. Listen, you get $1 million appraisal, like $1 million over what you owe on your appraisal. And apparently it can make people act kind of funny. That's the woman who successfully sued, not me. Oh, and you're just like her crusader? You're just here like for support or what? Tell me. There are public documents and TikTok accounts that prove things against you. No, I mean, there are TikTok accounts and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What else? YouTube, all the same person. Who was apparently scared to death of my followers, said I had an army and she was so scared of them, she couldn't go in public. But now you're like hosting Zoom calls and trying to have meetups around town to talk about me. Like that is so gross. What happened to being so scared you can't go to church and can't go to Costco? And now all of a sudden you're like, follow me. I guess everybody wants to be a pick me, bitch, right? How much longer before it's over? I'm not trying to be vague. Ask me a question directly, I'm happy to answer you. I found one of the videos the other day too, and one of them is like admitting that the girl that left asked when the blog was gonna start talking about her leaving. And she's like, I thought it was weird that a couple days later, right after she asked that question, there was suddenly a post asking where she was. I thought it was weird that you told me her usernames were the same names I thought they were. But that all didn't get brought up. Nothing got brought up actually. Hopefully it gets brought up at a later date. Thing is, everything on the internet is there forever. And just because you think you delete it, it don't go away. When all this stuff was going on in my old house, it was like, how do they know stuff that I'm not saying online? You know? And like, even if you hate my guts and you want to be supportive of him, like my dad was dying. Like, how can you support that behavior? Like, are you that vapid? Also, I don't think there's ever been an employee in my life that he's liked or not talked shit about. So, like, you're literally defending somebody who definitely has said mean shit about you. So you look real dumb. Where's Pop-Tart when we need her?
So she starts this off by saying when she looks at someone's Google history, and seemingly I think she's referencing her soon-to-be ex-husband, she talks about how she thought he was trying to sell the house or get it appraised so that they could sell it so he could divorce her. And something like that. So I'm not really entirely sure what she's talking about, but seemingly she has seen some Google history that she thinks backs up her claims. Canadian Pop-Tart said that I sued her successfully and won. And then the defendant says, what are you, her crusader? And then she goes into that I have all of the social media handles, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and those sorts of things. And once again, says not to follow me or she will block you. Then she says that how can you be afraid of me or my followers and then be hosting Zoom calls and meetups around town? And once again, I would just like to point out, who am I meeting up with if it's just me? Because she's trying to get evidence earlier in this episode from her followers showing that she does not have any haters because she wants nice DMs so that she can show that to the judge. Then who am I meeting up with? It just doesn't make any sense. And her followers just don't seem to pick up on it. She also says that she saw a video the other day of H saying that she thought it was weird that I had asked H, has anyone guessed basically that I have left yet? Because there's always speculation about the defendant, and the Gomi forum was already speculating that somebody was leaving because the defendant had been posting job descriptions for some new positions that she was hiring for. And so H and I had had a conversation where I was said, well, how long until they figure out that it's me that left? And so seemingly they were discussing that. And she thinks that it's proof because H said that and said, oh, Crystal was wondering when they were going to ask about her. And then a few days later, someone did post that. And so this is just another instance where she thinks that that is proof. Because it must be inside information, because who else would just wonder where I was if I wasn't being seen, wasn't being talked about, and they were posting job descriptions? I mean, that's a natural assumption that might happen. But to her, that is proof, concrete proof, that it has to be me. Then she quickly references someone who was a former employee and who she confirmed, in her words, she confirmed that that former employee was a troll and how could they be supporting me. And she is referencing someone that I did work with while I was there. I had no idea that that person was on any of the forums that discussed the defendant. I found out after the fact, after I had joined the Reddit community, and I had no idea that that had happened. But here, the defendant is confirming that that person does discuss her on these forums. And so what is it now? Because it used to just be me that logged in and out with multiple profiles, and then H, maybe she had multiple profiles or maybe she just had one. Then it is her soon to be ex-husband. Now, additionally, this former employee is included. And so she just changes the narrative to fit whatever story she's trying to spin. And obviously, I don't want to forget about the elderly woman from South Arkansas who the defendant references frequently. She will frequently reference the Reddit moderator who talks about her and how she thinks that that is so weird. And you can once again hear from CC1, who she refers to, on a bonus episode if you are a judge on Patreon.
No, I can handle it. I just don't like it. And I really, no, I don't, not even that I don't like it. I don't like responding to it here that I see there, you know? And I don't want it to like change. Like, we should be talking about fun shit, not dumb. But this morning was kind of interesting because, man, that person sure has so much information. How would you know all those things? But don't worry. I knew it wasn't talking. Don't worry. Now, was it someone who talks to me? Absolutely yes. Because there was some stuff that she said this morning or earlier today that you would not know unless you talked to him. So thank you for telling me that, sweetheart. Sweet girl. How do they find forums? I don't know. But you'll also, figure out. First of all, I would never be one of those people. Like, please don't go do that because it's just gross. And, like, everybody will eventually be called to the carpet for who they are and what they said. But you'll notice that they say stuff about, like, a lot of people. I just always wondered why they're talking about me. I'm like a boring ass. I don't even have a lot of followers, and I keep my Instagram private usually. So that's just so weird. But when they start saying the same shit, you're just like, okay, I paid for my Inc. 5000 win. I guess all those companies did, huh? You mad because I didn't take you with me or what? But to get everybody else involved the way that this has all turned out, and like, it's just gross. Unfortunately, some people got involved in my situation that I wish they didn't, because I truly love them. But they were manipulated, but they abused the power that they did have at the time they had it, and they shouldn't have done that. And that just sends you down a slippery slope at the same time. So someone saying your hair extensions appointments are coinciding with court dates. That's exactly right. Like, I got my hair done because I was going to court. Like, I don't give a Also, like, I'm not concerned with what I look like there. I've been cute every single time. If I go anywhere, I have to get cute, number one. And he's wearing the same shirt to both appointments. I don't care. Sad they don't have better things to do. I know, girl. You need something to do, girl. What's really sad is when they still act like they're your friends. Like, one of the girls that talks about me all the time, she literally, like, acted like she was my friend until I blocked her. And I knew it was her. And then I was like, all right, this is going to be real easy to figure out. And then sure enough, hook, line, and sinker. And then she accidentally sent the text message she meant to send to somebody else, to me. Like, way to tell me you're talking to him. But don't act like you're my friend. That's gross. And it's bad for other people because then, like, not that I have enough of this in my wherewithal. I definitely should not think everybody's honest. But normal people, probably, it would make them think they can't trust anybody. But I'm still stupid, which is something my friends have always told me. But I don't know. You just assume people are good. And I'm kind of glad that I do, because that is what keeps me coming back on the internet. And as long as I keep coming back on the internet, then I'm still winning. Because I never understood. People would always say, like, the best revenge is success. And that never, like, clicked in my brain. Because I'd be like, why would revenge and success even have anything to do with each other? Like, that's so weird. But I guess when people really want to, like, see you fail, your success would bother them. I don't understand that, to tell you the truth. And some of these people, they look like normal people. Like, one of the girls, after my divorce is over, I'll tell y'all who one of them is. And one of them, you're just like, we have mutual friends. Like, I never would have thought. And also, I liked you. I always thought she was different than everybody else. But I never thought, like, she's that kind of person. And then you find out, it's always the ones you never think. The person I was involved with the lawsuit with, though, like, when I went to the police, she told the police, like, literally never had a problem with this woman. Like, no idea she didn't even like her. So when my employees told me that she called me a narcissist at work and all this stuff, I was like, huh? Like, her kid's in my will. Like, I've never had an issue with her in my life. I don't understand. But then it all makes sense. When you find out, like, she sued her prior employer and she left after they got a CPA. Then she quit my company 30 minutes after I messaged her telling her, thank you for helping me so much. I appreciate everything you did. Helping me with my loan and my tax returns and all that stuff. But I got a CPA, so don't worry. You don't have to deal with any of that anymore. And then she was gone 30 minutes later out of nowhere. And honestly, I thought she was just leaving because, I don't know, I didn't care. My dad was really sick, and that was my concern. I even asked, like, should I go check on her? You think she's okay? And he would be like, no, you shouldn't. She's fine. I'm like, okay. And then a couple months later, I read the blog, and then I'm like, oh, my God, shut the fuck up. No way. Also, when you can, like, look at exact conversations you've had with that person or your spouse has had with that person, and then those exact same topics are on the blog the same day, you're like, oh my God. But I didn't even have to go that far because she told me several times what some of her usernames were and that she had multiple usernames and would log in and talk to herself, like answer her own questions and then get frustrated. So I hope that all the truth really does come out during all this, but if not, I'm happy to show the receipts I got. My binders that are empty, apparently.
So in the beginning of this clip, she's still referring to the former employee that I worked with that she confirmed was talking about her. And so she does talk about her quite a bit during this clip and that she never suspected her and they have mutual friends and some things like that. And then she says that she's going to reveal the identity of that person after the divorce was over. And I just want to point out that before the defendant has talked about anonymity online and how that should not be legal. And I have also shared my opinion that I don't agree with her. Do I think that people should be able to do whatever they want to anonymously online? No. Is there some questionable activity and behavior that happens under anonymous names? Yes. And I don't think that that's right. However, this person just went to share her opinion about the defendant on a forum. And now the defendant is threatening to reveal her identity. And that is the danger of someone like the defendant knowing your actual identity online. And I'll point it out again. The defendant just thought or thinks that I was doing all of this to her and has gone on this campaign now for over 3 years at the time that I'm recording this. And now she is threatening to reveal the identity of the former employee who talks about her on these forums. Arguably, if she did reveal that person's identity with the way her followers behave and attack people who might say unfavorable things about the defendant or even just ask logical questions in the comments, then the defendant knows full well what her internet quote unquote army will do to people who she tells them have wronged her. She referenced the Inc. 5000 gala and says, "Are you mad that I didn't take you?" And she's referencing me there because she, I guess, had taken H. And so she's insinuating that I would have been upset that she didn't take me, which is not the case. And then she talks about H again, first by implication and then by name, but saying that H was manipulated, and she has said that before, that I had manipulated H into all of this, and also saying that H abused the power that she had. And what she means by that, and she said this before, is the access that H had to her, H abused that and was feeding me information. Then she talks about me calling her a narcissist, and then it makes sense because I sued my prior employer. And I quit that job after they hired a CPA, and I quit the job with her because 30 minutes prior, she had sent me a text saying that she hired a CPA. So she's trying to make it sound like I'm quitting because my two former places that I worked hired a CPA, implying that there would be something found that I had done. And I just want to point out that, number one, I had only been doing accounting and bookkeeping duties for the defendant for 6 months. And during that time, I was trying to help her close on her home. And additionally, the resignation letter that I wrote the day that I left the defendant's company on September the 2nd, I wrote that morning before I ever went to work. So her timeline of she texted me and said that she was hiring a CPA and 30 minutes later I walked out does not hold up. I had already made the decision to leave. I didn't care if she had an accountant or a CPA or not. I was leaving because the frustration that I was experiencing exceeded my compensation level and I didn't want to be there anymore. But she's trying to make it sound like to her followers that I left because she had hired a CPA and seemingly they were going to find things out. And she was also trying to insinuate that that was a pattern for me. Then she says that she would see a text that was written between me and somebody, and then that exact same thing would be written on the blog, but she didn't even have to go that far because H told her my usernames and that I had logged in and out and talked to myself. I have not seen any evidence, nor have I been told by anyone with direct knowledge of H listing out usernames and saying that I logged in and out. What I do have and what I have seen is the police quote unquote interview where H was questioned for 3 hours and 9 minutes and repeatedly said that she had no idea until the defendant brought this information to her and that there were IP addresses that were confirming that I was all of these people and she was blown away. She had no idea that any of this was happening. She didn't know that I was capable of something like this. And so here the defendant is changing the narrative saying, oh yeah, she said all of these usernames and said that Crystal logged in and out. And that is not the case. And then she says that she really hopes that the truth comes out one day, but if not, she's happy to show all of her binders that are empty apparently. And once again, I just want to say, okay, let's see. Let's see what receipts that you think that you have, because anytime she describes her proof, it's not proof of anything. And also she cannot possibly have any proof of any of her claims because they are fabricated lies.
We both had to agree not to put the deposition on social media. I'm like, you ain't gotta ask me. She's never done nothing like that. But I thought, well, that's odd. We've never been able to do that for anything else, have we? But I bet you don't want that on social media either, huh? Y'all have TikTok? I have TikTok. I'm not deleting my TikToks. I have a whole bunch of TikTok saved too, ready to go live ASAP, but not yet. Because I never realized, like, they literally try to take anything and make you look horrible. Like, I did not say it like that. But you can't, like, go back later and be like, look, this is how I meant it, or listen to the whole thing. So, better just not be there. And that's the frustrating part for me too. Like, he gets away with saying all that because he can do it anonymously, and I can't say nothing, or I look like an asshole. So, whatever. I'll just pay the price. Whatever it's gonna be, whatever. At the end of the day, after all this is over, it will be over. I'll never have to think about it again. And I still will not know to this day why the hell I got divorced. Although, my reasoning is different than his. I heard a whole new reason the other day. I never heard that before.
So she starts out this clip by saying that they had to agree to not put the deposition on social media. And she is referencing herself and her soon-to-be ex-husband. They each were deposed in the divorce. And apparently, according to her, had to agree to not put that on social media. And so I'm not really sure the reasoning behind that, but by that time I had been sharing And I had shared portions of the defendant's deposition. And so I don't know if she's the one who initiated that conversation or if her soon-to-be ex-husband did, but she's saying that they both had to agree to not put that on social media. Then she says that she has a lot of TikToks in her drafts ready to go live as soon as the divorce is over. And she doesn't want to publish them because they will be taken out of context. And she says, I've learned that they will take anything and try to make you look bad and all of this sort of thing. And once again, we are well enough into this podcast and reviewing this footage to know that it would be impossible to take all of that footage out of context. But here she's trying to say that she wasn't meaning it like that or she wasn't saying it like that. And it was just taken out of context. And then she ends by saying that her soon-to-be ex-husband is getting away with everything because he's saying all of this stuff anonymously. And she's referencing that he is writing about her on the Reddit forums or Gomi, I'm not really sure which, and that he's able to do that anonymously and she can't say anything publicly because it will be used against her. And to my knowledge, her soon-to-be ex-husband has never had a profile or has ever made comments about her on any of these forums. And honestly, from what I know about him, it would really surprise me if he had, because it just does not strike me that that's something that he would do or be interested in. But here she carries on the narrative that he is talking about her or and or feeding information to people so that it can be posted on the quote unquote troll blogs. And then she finally says that she still has no idea why she's getting divorced. And so she has said that he has said that they're getting divorced because she was accusing him. She has said that they're getting divorced because she was accusing him. Then she has said that they're getting divorced because she said she wasn't going to pay the credit card bills anymore. And then sometimes she says what she just said here, that she has no idea why she's getting divorced. So consistently, she does tell this story. The details do vary from day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour, but she does consistently defame me. She consistently maintains that I have authored all of these hate blogs about her. And I do think that she believes that if she just says it enough, that that's proof. And honestly, I think her followers go along with that too, because they'll say in the comments, well, you wouldn't be able to remember all these details if you weren't telling the truth, or you've been telling this story for this many years, so it must be true. And so she and her followers both think, well, if she just repeats it enough time, then it must be true, but that is not the case. And the defendant yet, despite talking about all of these receipts, claims that she is going to show all of the evidence. At the point that I'm recording this podcast episode, there have been 6+ months since the divorce trial, and still no evidence has been presented anywhere, not at trial and not on the defendant's social media, proof of any of her claims. She just continually claims to have the proof, and that appears to be enough for her followers to continue blindly believing her.
Next time on False and Defamatory.
The defendant was adamant that she should not have to pay the whole judgment for my defamation case. Therefore, she made my defamation case a very, very, very large part of this divorce case. The defendant claims that there has to be inside information given, but I was gone at that point. So then seemingly they're starting to blame this other relative, and then she goes to blaming her husband. When in reality, the things shared on the blog, speculation, public record, or something that the defendant has said, but she will not admit that. She has to make it that it is someone feeding information to me so that I can post about it under these multiple accounts that she claims that I have, when that is the farthest thing from the truth.
Play part of the deposition and then play part of my live video and try to make it look like I lied. I didn't lie. Like, you have to play the whole deposition.
And I have included the entire deposition in episode 22. It's multi-part of this podcast.
How does it get on the internet that I got to pay somebody XYZ dollars if I ever say their name when I didn't know I had to do that?
It's public record. It was filed in the Rule 11 agreement between H and the defendant and the defendant's soon-to-be ex-husband. They all signed it. So she's saying, how would you know that, or how would the internet know that if I didn't even know that? You signed the document. After the divorce trial proceedings that day, the defendant did make some Instagram stories.
So I don't think I'd ever want to be an attorney because I don't want to manipulate people with my words. I do think I'd make a good detective, though.
But I know what I shared and when I shared it, and I know when it ended up on the internet, and I hadn't.
Today, I yelled his name down the hallway, or like whispered his name, and I was like, I forgive you.
Here's an example. I said out loud as I was walking in the hallway to him that I forgive him, and that was like literally the headline of a troll blog the next day. So it's like, if it's not you talking about me on the internet, then how the hell did they know that I said I forgive you?
He said, if she had retracted those statements, would you have dropped the lawsuit? And I said, yes, because he was trying to show that the marital estate would not have been in that state if she would have stopped. She also says that in our defamation case that she never got to say those things. She never got to ask those questions. Well, now she has. Her attorneys in her divorce have asked those questions about the defamation case, and now I have answered them. I'm not sure what transpired for her to get them to ask these types of questions, but they were very interesting questions to ask, in my opinion. Particularly questions about the defendant's nose and body, or whether or not I said the husband was a man-child. None of that has anything to do with the distribution of marital assets.
If it wasn't y'all, how come nobody picked up the phone and was like, yo, bro, it wasn't me?
Instead, I filed a lawsuit, and that didn't seem to communicate any of the seriousness. I've also said under oath, I have lost count of how many times between my deposition and the trial that this is not me. So she's here saying, why didn't you just pick up the phone and tell me it wasn't you? I've told you it wasn't me. I've told you it wasn't me endless amounts of times. You refuse to believe it.
If I have to work my ass off to be able to hire a whole new law team and spend $100,000 to go back and like defend myself, I am, because I didn't lie ever about anything I said, and it's so much worse than what I even said.
Her story has been told in two courts now, and she still will not accept reality.
The False and Defamatory podcast is hosted, edited, and produced by me, Crystal Wrighton, with music by Harry B. Ragsdale, who also serves as my audio engineer. First and foremost, I would like to thank my guests who generously shared their time and insight with us. I would also like to thank my husband, my mom, my children, my therapist, my attorneys, and trusted friends who walked with me through this process and made this podcast possible. Being able to finally speak the truth is incredibly healing, and I appreciate you listening more than I could accurately express. If you would like to continue receiving my latest episodes and stay up to date with my content, please subscribe to the False and Defamatory podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and follow False and Defamatory on social media with the handle @FalseAndDefamatory. Links to False and Defamatory social media, as well as my blog, can be found in the episode notes and on falseanddefamatory.com. Listening to the False and Defamatory podcast is free on most platforms. However, if you prefer a video podcast or would like to see the documents discussed in the podcast shown on screen, you can subscribe to my Patreon, where you will enjoy these benefits as well as early access, bonus content, and ad-free listening. The defendant spread her false and defamatory claims to hundreds of thousands of followers for more than 2 years. My goal is to share the truth so it can reach each person who heard her lies. By sharing this podcast, you can help me achieve that goal. Your support means everything to me and helps me reach a wider audience. So please hit that subscribe button and share this podcast with those you think would benefit from it. Thank you again for sharing and for listening. All social media posts referenced in this podcast were included in the evidence in case number 096-321-67820 in the 96th District Court of Tarrant County, Texas, where the jury unanimously ruled in my favor on August 24, 2022. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the False and Defamatory podcast does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by the guests are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the view of the False and Defamatory podcast or Crystal Wrighton. Please do not make any attempts to reach out to the defendant or her followers. Names have been redacted to protect the privacy of the defendant and her army of followers who commented on her public posts. The unanimous jury verdict has not only provided me with justice, but also allows me to share my story. The purpose of this podcast is to share the truth and to provide educational content regarding defamation and social media. If you have any questions about this or to view the documents discussed in this episode, please visit falseanddefamatory.com.